I'm only going to make reference to it in a general principle. Then I have some information to share with you. Romans chapter 13. Since I've been thinking about Veterans Day and thinking about some of that, my question is, why do we have a military? Why do we have a military? Romans 13, and we'll begin in verse 3, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for the truth that we know in Christ. We look forward to the day when we will enjoy you forever and ever. Help us on this earth as we serve you. In Christ's name, amen. Verse 3 says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake." There's a lot in that verse, and I don't want to deal with all of it. But I want to basically say this principle. God ordained that government, even in that time, was an emperor. Wasn't a voting system, but ordained that government be an instrument to restrain and deal with evil. There are a lot of other things, but that's primarily talking about evil. When we have police, and we have a court system, we have judges, and we have lawyers, and we have prosecutors, all that is part of a system designed to deal with evil. And by evil, I don't mean just sheer absolute wickedness. I just mean those who would do wrong. And that's why it's set up to protect against evil on a personal level. We may all hire our own bodyguard, but generally speaking, that's not what we do in the town of Boston. That's not what we do in our county. The government provides that protection for us. Well, just as there's evil on an individual level, there's evil on a worldwide level in relationship to countries by people who lead them. And so we don't hire police, we have a military. And military primary responsibility, they do a lot of things. They may help quell some rebellion in our nation, but primarily they're to defend us against evil out there, and they're under the government. God established that. Now, that doesn't mean everyone that does things, every policeman, every judge, and every military leader is just pure and perfect, but the general principle of what Romans 13 is saying is there. You must have a military. Otherwise, you cannot defend yourself against evil. With that in mind, I want to sort of set up a little historical things concerning World War II. In 1919, Lord George of England, Orlando of Italy, Clemenceau of France, and Woodrow Wilson from the U.S. met to discuss how Germany was to be made to pay for the damage World War I had caused. Woodrow Wilson wanted a treaty based on his 14-point plan, which he believed would have bring peace to Europe. But George Clemenceau of France wanted revenge. He wanted to be sure that Germany would never start another war again. Lord George of England personally agreed with Wilson, but he knew that the British public agreed with Clemenceau. He tried to find a compromise between the two, and he could not. Germany had been expecting a treaty based on Wilson's 14 points and were not happy with the terms of the Treaty of Versailles. But, however, they had no choice. What were those terms? Germany should accept the blame for starting World War I. Germany had to pay £6,600 million for the damage caused by the war. Germany was only allowed to have a small army and 6 naval ships. No tanks, no air force, and no submarines were allowed. The Rhineland area was demilitarized. Land was taken away from Germany and given to other countries. What was Germany's response? Well, Germany didn't like that. The German people were very unhappy about the treaty and thought that it was too harsh. Germany could not afford to pay the money, and during the 1920s, the people in Germany were very poor. There were not many jobs, and the price of food and basic goods were high. People were dissatisfied with the government and voted to power a man who promised to rip up the Treaty of Versailles. You know who that man was? Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany in January 1933. He immediately began secretly building up Germany's army and weapons. In 1934, he increased the size of the army, began building warships, and created a German Air Force. Compulsory military service was also introduced. Although Britain and France were aware of Hitler's actions, they were also concerned about the rise of communism and believed that a stronger Germany might help to prevent the spread of communism to the West. As Hitler slowly building up, they thought, well, hey, this might be good. He might, as a strong power, be able to restrain communism. In 1936, Hitler ordered German troops to enter the Rhineland. At this point, the German army was not very strong and could have been easily defeated. Yet France nor Britain were prepared to start another war. Hitler also made two important alliances during 1936. The first was with Mussolini's Italy, and the second was with Japan. That'll tell you why we entered the war, because of Japan allied with Hitler. His second invasion was to take back the land that had been taken away from Germany. In March 1938, German troops marched into Austria. The Austrian leader was forced to hold a vote asking the people whether they wanted to be part of Germany. The results of the vote were fixed and showed that 99% of the Austrian people wanted to, but it had already been set by Hitler. And if you've watched the movie, The Sound of Music, you would know all that. The Austrian leader asked Britain, France, and Italy for aid. He promised that was the end. And not wanting to risk a war, they said, okay. And he promised. I raised my hand. I promise. I will do no more. He did not keep his word, and 6 months later demanded that the Sudetenland region of Czechoslovakia be handed over to Germany. Neville Chamberlain, Prime Minister of Britain, met with Hitler three times during September 1938 to try to reach an agreement that would prevent war. The Munich Agreement stated that Hitler could have the Sudetenland region of Czechoslovakia provided he promised not to invade the rest. I want you to notice something. You can't necessarily fault them looking back, because here's people trying to bring peace. Hey, okay, you did that, but hey, we'll agree with you. Let's make a treaty, let's make an agreement, and you won't do any more. The problem is, evil and those who wish to conquer are not changed by a treaty. Hitler was not a man of his word, and in March 1939 invaded the rest of Czechoslovakia. Despite calls for help from that government, neither Britain nor France were prepared to take military action against Hitler. However, some action was now necessary, and believing that Poland would be Hitler's next target, both Britain and France promised that they would take military action against Hitler if he invaded Poland. Chamberlain believed that faced with the prospect of war against Britain and France, Hitler would stop his aggression. Do you notice every step of the way? Let's get along. Let's be at peace. Everything will be okay. You just stop what you're doing and everything will be all right. When the criminal comes to take your life, you may try to set up a peace treaty and say, please, let's get along together. But the truth is, you need government and you need police to stop evil. That is ordained of God to protect us. And it is the same in the military realm. They believed Hitler would stop his aggression. Chamberlain was wrong. German troops invaded Poland on the 1st of September. 1939, and eventually the war continued, and Hitler kept his aggression. Roosevelt tried to keep us out of it as long as he could until the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. The reason I say all this, thinking about Veterans Day, is simply this, that those who serve in our military and those who serve in police and judges and all the rest, we appreciate them because it's ordained of God as a buffer to protect us. Does that mean every decision is made is from God? Does that mean every judge's decision is from God? Does that mean every general and everything they say is from God? No. But the general principle of God establishing a buffer to protect us. You see, God has a plan. First, he gave the law in our hearts. And as Christians, he's saved us. And so the Holy Spirit is working to effect change in us. So as Christians, we live differently. Not perfectly, but we live differently. But not everyone is going to do that. In the Old Testament, God established penalties, very severe penalties for those who did wrong. Why? To protect. And sometimes the only way to protect, I hate to say this, but the only time, the way to protect is to do away the one that needs to, that has committed the crime, particularly if it's a violent, wicked crime. It is the same way in war. How do you deal with war? You destroy the enemy. Now, we're not the aggressor. We're not the one going after them, but you have a military to protect us. And in that time of World War II, they were there to protect and defeat Hitler, who was very, very strong in trying to conquer things. God says this, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil." You're driving 80 miles an hour, and all of a sudden you see the state patrolman. What happens to you? Your heart beats a little harder. Why? Because you're breaking the law. Now, if you're driving 55 and you're just cruising along doing your own business and you see that patrolman, you go by and say, "Hey, fella, how you doing?" There's no terror and there's no fear. They are a terror. They're not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. If you're not committing wrong, then don't worry. And if you get in trouble, don't worry. Perry Mason will help get you out. He always finds the one who really was guilty. The truth is, they're there to protect. To protect us on a local level, but also on a national level. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do what is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You say, "I don't agree with everything they do. I don't agree with everything the policeman said. And I don't agree with all that they do." But I'm going to tell you this. If you took them all away, and you said, "Okay, we're disbanding the American government because we can't get along, so let's just do away with it, and it'll be the Wild Wild West show." I'm moving, in case you didn't know that. I don't want to live here. It is government that, in spite of its imperfections, that protects and helps us. "Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." Now, that doesn't mean we agree with everything that goes on. We certainly don't agree with everything that goes on. But there should be a general respect for what goes on in those who aren't leaders. You may say, "Oh, government makes me so mad. That policeman makes me so mad he stopped me." Were you speeding? Then he's a minister of God to control your speeding. Were you cheating on your income tax? Uh-oh. He's a minister of God to restrain the evil. You see, God can't save, or not God doesn't, can't. God, not everyone is saved. So therefore, not everyone can be changed in their hearts. So you must have people in authority to help restrain wickedness. That's why I say on this Veterans Day, as often as we can, we ought to say thank you for those who have served, because they are ordained of God to protect. Now, every decision from every general and every colonel and every leader and every president may not have been the exact one, but the intent is there to protect us. We've been safe for a while. You know, it's interesting. 1 Timothy says to pray for your leaders so that you may live a quiet and peaceable life. Evil is very present. You remember 9/11? You remember all the other things that happens? I wish we didn't have to have war. I hope we never have another war again. I hope war never comes again in my lifetime or your lifetime. I hope it's over with. But if it comes, it's ordained of God to stop and restrain evil. And we honor the men and women who serve this country. And I think every one of you here appreciate them. I think you could tell by what we do on Sunday morning on Veterans Day. Everyone appreciates them. And I just want to continue tonight, because there's a Hitler somewhere. There's someone else out there who is bound to do evil, just like there's an individual somewhere. And so God ordained them to be our protector. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you, Lord. Not everything is perfect. Not every decision is perfect. Not everything done by leaders are perfect. But in a general sense, Lord, you ordained them to be overseers of us, to at least, as much as can be done, to punish and restrain the wickedness of those whose hearts will not be changed. And so they are a minister for your wrath, not personally, but to restrain evil. And Lord, we thank you for that. Because if we did not have government, if we did not have policemen, if we did not have a military, and we just said, hey, do whatever you want to, we would have absolutely chaos. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the ones even tonight who are serving. One, a member of our church that's serving and going through the military. Lord, we thank you for him. And pray your grace and strength and help upon him. And for others, Lord, we thank you for them who have served. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.